Blog Talk Radio.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Change.
Gaslighting is a mind control strategy that is purposely, systematically done to control another person by changing their thoughts, feelings, memories, and their belief system about who they are. I call that a gaslit self-narrative. As I explained in my Human Magnet Center book, we all have a self-narrative. Let's pretend we're being interviewed and they ask us, who are you? You know, those searching questions. Well, we start talking to them about ourselves. Well, the gaslit narrative is the same process, but the information that you believe was covertly, secretly implanted into your mind and the environment was systematically changed so that it could prove to you that you have problems or you are or are not a certain type of person. Gaslighters are covert narcissists. After a while, the covert narcissist reconfigures your mind, reconfigures your personal narrative, and the story that you believe is not accurate anymore, but you don't.
All right, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome.
Whatever you may imagine you perceive or understand is equally unstable if it is.
All right. Royalty, royalty, royalty to everybody. Thank you, guys, for tuning in to another podcast of Enhancing Awareness Radio. As you guys know, I am Haru, the Seven, the Oracle, and today on Spiritual Soul Sunday, what we're going to be talking about is gaslighting. So, gaslighting is a topic in which I know about, but which, you know, the levels of which gaslighting is used on people today. I think gaslighting and dark psychology manipulation, it's an emotional manipulation, right? And what I'm going to illustrate to you today is kind of a few different avenues on what gaslighting is, how to overcome it, how to just enhance your awareness, right? It's becoming aware, most importantly, on what gaslighting is and what are these tactics that people use to emotionally manipulate other people. Now, we would like to think, you know, we live in a world to where, you know, sometimes people with good hearts, you know, they really, you know, they really are naive to a point. At times to where, you know, we think everybody has good hearts, you know, and nobody would do anybody else like that, right? So that's why a lot of good-hearted people are looked to as weak or naive, because the energy is not understood living in a world that could be so wicked, if I may. You know what I mean? But not to get attached to that, because I feel once you get attached to that and once you kind of get, you know, lost in the wind of everything, I think that that's when, you know, many can become victims. But we're really not victims, you know, it's just that we are just not fully aware on what is truly going on. So what personalities could do is they can come in and they can definitely manipulate. You know, it goes on more levels then I feel that we choose to tap into. So that's what I'm going to do for you today. I'm going to point out a few different things when it comes to the topic. Covert narcissist, as he just said, he has a book as well. I'll give that book to you guys toward the middle of the ending of the podcast. But he mentioned covert narcissist. I think that that's definitely something very important. We're going to get into that later, but let's go ahead and dive into the 12 gaslighting phases abusive people use to control you. So that may be kind of a good
12 gaslighting phases abusive people use to control you. Has someone ever made you feel crazy for sticking up for yourself? Well, there's a name for that. Gaslighting. It's a way that...
So, I want to pause right there real quick. I want to, before we go into that clip, I want to touch on what gaslighting looks like. Gaslighting is a form of abuse and manipulation concentrated on making someone doubt their reality. And here are nine things. Here are nine things, right? And then he's going to go into 12 things, but there's a few different levels that I want to illustrate again. So, there are, number one, they deny they said or did something even when you have proof. Number two, they accuse you of doing things that you know they themselves have done. Three, they turn others against you to take away your support system. Four, they tell you that you are crazy. Five, you are never right. The next one, you constantly feel you have to defend reality. The next one, you trust in yourself or into which your trust into yourself or your trust into your intuition start to erode. You know, it starts to get distorted, if you will. The next one, you always feel confused about whether you're on good terms. You are not allowed to have feelings. You find yourself collecting proof things happen so you can reassure yourself. So, you know how we can be in a relationship or we can be even in a parentship or a cousinship or, you know, whatever it may be. And there's like, you feel like your mind is getting played on. You know, you feel like your mind is getting played on. You know what I'm saying? Just let you know that there are sciences, you guys, that people use. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times it's done intentionally. A lot of times, somebody who's fully aware of these tactics can use them intentionally to attempt to manipulate and control your mind. This is why the practice and repetition in standing up for yourself and standing your ground can be very important. And I know it takes time, you know, for someone with a good heart, someone who really has pure intention, who means well, to stand up for yourself. That's like another task within yourself. But through repetition, you can do it. All right? All right, so let's get into the lecture.
Brainy Dose presents 12 gaslighting phrases abusive people use to control you. Has someone ever made you feel crazy for sticking up for yourself? Well, there's a name for that, gaslighting. It's a way that people abuse others through manipulation, distraction, or distortion of reality. Whatever the technique, gaslighting makes you doubt what you know is true. The basis of gaslighting is always convincing someone that their memories, emotions, or beliefs are wrong. The worst part is that it can be hard to recognize and cope with, especially when it's happening. Gaslighters brainwash their victims and control them through coercion, making it extremely difficult for the victim to resist or question the abuse. And it can happen anywhere, at work, at home, or with friends. Most often, though, gaslighting occurs in romantic relationships, especially where there is a power imbalance. If gaslighting could be happening to you, the tricky question is, how can you identify it? Well, there are certain red flags to look for, starting with what the gaslighter is saying. So we've compiled a list of some of the most common gaslighting phrases to be aware of. Number one, it's your fault. Terrible with accountability. No matter what happens, even when they're clearly in the wrong, a gaslighter will shift the blame onto someone else. They'll say that it's your fault for what happened, how you feel, or even how they feel. And they won't stop pushing the blame onto you until you cave in and accept it. If they're unhappy, it's your fault. If you're unhappy, it's also your fault. You just can't win. Number two, I'm not angry. What are you talking about? When a toxic person is upset, they often use nonverbal cues, like indirect aggression or the silent treatment, to communicate their feelings and even punish you. But when you ask them why they're upset, they act as if they have no idea what you're talking about. This behavior is meant to make you question yourself. As doubt fills your mind, you end up feeling even more confused. Number three, I think you need help. Phrases that gaslight you often come in a nice package that looks genuine on the outside, insidious on the inside. This is one of them. Although it can seem sincere, when you're gaslighted, the phrase, you need help, is meant to manipulate, twist, and deceive. The abuser is really claiming that something is wrong with their victim, hoping this sparks a chain of self-doubt and concern, not real help. Don't be fooled. When gaslighters say this, it is always deliberate and usually meant to distract you from their behavior. Number four, you're imagining things. This dangerous phrase is a direct attack meant to cause severe cognitive dissonance or doubt in one's own thoughts. Saying that you've perceived something entirely wrong can make you doubt your memories and feel insane. When this phrase or idea is repeated, it can be very toxic. When you lose trust in yourself, it often pushes you to rely more on your abuser. Number five, you are just misconstruing my intentions. Fighters will never understand the concept of impact over intent, and they don't intend to. Instead, they will deflect responsibility by blaming it on a misunderstanding and claiming that they had only positive intentions. This is a classic tactic for abusers to divert attention away from their flaws and towards self-assurance. They'll use the excuse that they didn't mean it that way to avoid apologizing. And don't be surprised if they indulge in a few lies, too. Instead of respecting your feelings, they'll lean on the idea that it was all a misunderstanding, like that excuses their behavior. Number six, you always read too much into things. Gaslighters enjoy making you statements that will stop you in your tracks. These words indicate that you're onto something. When you communicate that you're bothered by your abuser's behavior, they often worry that you'll keep looking into it. So they say you're overthinking, overanalyzing, over anything to get you to stop. This is an extremely toxic and insensitive thing to say, but it's also a phrase that can validate your suspicions if you know what it means. Number seven, said that or did that. You have a terrible memory. While this gaslighting phrase is one of the most common, it's also the most sadistic. It attacks your sanity and shows that they don't trust or believe you. While it might make sense for someone to forget something they've said or done, it's ridiculous to think that you hallucinated a whole memory. A gaslighter might even warp your memory, convincing you to actually believe a made-up version that they crafted just for you at that moment. Number eight, the problem isn't with me. It's with you. If you haven't guessed by now, gaslighters are experts at evading responsibility. This phrase is especially harmful, though, because it attacks your self-esteem with psychological torture. These words can lead you to believe that you're not good enough or that you're not worthy of love and respect. Abusers tend to project their own insecurities and problems onto their victims, and this can make you question yourself, your emotions, and your behavior. It can even make you de-escalate situations and take on the blame for fear of being in the wrong. Number nine, just forget about it. When a toxic person tells you to forget about it, it's a strong deflection that basically translates to shut up. Instead of exploring and resolving conflict, people who say this want to practice avoidance, which is a sign of an unhealthy relationship. The truth is that no one is going to forget, and the wound is only going to fester. And as time goes on, you'll probably become less and less inclined to talk about the problems in your relationship until they're too much to bear. Number 10, you are the only person that I have problems with. Abusers love to invalidate you because it makes you less likely to stand up for yourself. When they say this, they're implying that they're perfect and any issues you have with them are your fault. The saddest part is that they really believe this and are unlikely to change. Number 11, you're abusing me. Gaslighters will often accuse their victims of abuse. It might sound ironic, but it just feels painful. As you defend yourself and cope with the distress of the statement, the actual abuser enjoys the success of diversion from their abusive behavior. Number 12, if you're lucky, I'll forgive you. Toxic people who gaslight often get off on power trips. They want you to feel as if you're the one in the wrong. And then they make you apologize and beg for their forgiveness, even when they should be the ones saying sorry. When this happens, you might not even be sure what you're sorry about. Your only goal might be to calm them down or reconcile. Then, once you're in the clear, your abuser will make it a point to remind you how lucky you are for your forgiveness. In addition, they might not let go of the fact that they're always putting up with you, which is not the case at all. So, if you hear these bitter phrases, what should you do? First, recognize and name them as gaslighting, whether it's happening to you now or happened in the past. Before you vocalize it to anyone who might gaslight you more, validate yourself about what is happening to you. If you're struggling to process your toxic relationship, talking to friends, family, or even professional therapists can help you through the emotional abuse you've experienced and reestablish your reality. Fighting happens. Be prepared to set your boundaries. Instead of letting your emotions overcome you, keep a calm and steady tone and say something like, "You're speaking to me in an aggressive and abusive way. If you continue, I will not engage in this conversation anymore." Being direct and standing up for yourself can be very hard, and many gaslighters respond poorly to boundary setting. They don't want a healthy relationship. They want control. And if you want to stop being controlled, you may need to exit the relationship. If you know that it's time to leave, be careful and safe about how you break the news. It's not uncommon for emotionally abusive relationships to become physically abusive ones. So create a safe exit plan with the help of a therapist or your trusted loved ones. Then, be sure not to get lured in by false promises or gifts. Going no contact is best after ending an unhealthy relationship. If you found this video helpful, give it a thumbs up and share it with your friends so we can keep making them. For more videos like this, hit the subscribe button and remember to click on the notification bell. Be sure to check out our other videos as well.
All right. So, very great video. Love that. Hold on. Okay. So that was 12 gaslighting phases. This is going to be 7 psychological tricks sociopaths use to manipulate you, okay? So, again, guys, I encourage you to study this, even on your own emotional abuse and like that, stuff like that, because this is a sensitive topic, even domestic violence and domestic abuse. I think we have radio podcasts that we've done on that. You can type in Enhancing Awareness Radio Domestic Violence. I've been a big, well, I don't like to call myself a victim because I am victorious in everything that I grow through, not been there. You know what I'm saying? Domestic violence, gaslighting, emotional manipulation, emotional abuse, you know, near-death experiences to where, you know, you feel like you're in a prison of your spouse, you know, and you just don't have a way out. You know what I mean? It wasn't until I became aware, you know what I'm saying? Awareness is like the thing. I think in recovery they say step one, you got to admit that you have a problem. And I think that in relation to this, it's just admitting that something's not right. And that's when you start to, you know, stumble into your own awareness of these particular situations. If it doesn't feel right at your core, and if it doesn't, you know, just the feeling you get at the depth, then something is off, guys. And it's a good idea to move strategically, you know what I mean? Because these things can be dangerous. If you tell a sociopath that you're about to leave them because they're abusing you and all of this stuff, you're their main supply. So that can be tricky, you know. So be careful with that. I would also just suggest or recommend, like you said, a therapist. You can find someone. I used to all, and this is not anything that I haven't practiced myself, you guys, hiring strangers, you know, somebody who doesn't know either you and just talking to a stranger, you know. I recommend nature as well, but sometimes nature can't talk back, and when you're in these domestic, you know, encounters, entanglements, if you will, that can be kind of tricky. If you have insurance within your jobs or whatever it may be, just, you know, however you guys, just well think out, you know, like they said, an escape route. Because if not, you know, someone of that magnitude would drain you. You know what I mean? So 7 psychological tricks that sociopaths use to manipulate you.
7 psychological tricks sociopaths use to manipulate you. Make sure to watch until number 1, because it's one of the most manipulative tricks you've ever seen. Number 7, excessive use of compliments. So even though it's not that common to deal with a sociopath in your everyday life, some of us end up working with one, dating one, or even being related to one. Being able to spot the psychological tricks that they use to manipulate you is an invaluable skill you need. When you can recognize one of these tricks, you're less likely to fall for them. If there's one thing that nearly all sociopaths have in common, it's their inane desire to use other people for personal gain. And their most common way of doing this is by using charm. Everyone loves being complimented, and a lot of people love giving out compliments. But one thing about sociopaths is that sometimes salesmen on steroids, they'll drown you in seemingly genuine compliments, sometimes even just the right ones you need at the moment. This comes down to them trying to manipulate you into being more receptive to doing whatever they want. And if you're too deep into their web, they'll trick you into doing whatever they want, even if it's against your best interest. But here's the antidote to this form of poison. You can see through this psychological trick. Here's how to tell the difference between manipulative flattery from someone trying to reel you in and a genuine compliment from someone who's trying to make you happy. You'll find that instead of them saying something like, "I enjoy spending time with you," a sociopath will go absolutely over the top with saying things like, "You're the most extraordinary person I've ever met in my life." Or even after only knowing you for a short time of time, they'll come out and say they can't live without you. This is a major red flag. Excessive charm is a flaming hot red flag. The use of excessive charm and compliments tricks people into believing a sociopath is actually a good person. This slippery charm exonerates them from potential accusations and weaves a web of safety to trap you into thinking you can trust them. Number 6, they'll change the subject. Psychological manipulation 101 for sociopaths is changing the subject. Yes, switching between topics when you're speaking with someone is normal, but when it comes to master manipulators, they change the topic to escape accountability. And not only will they change the subject, but they'll change the point of discussion towards a topic that benefits them. This strategy works to confuse you or frustrate you. Disagreeing with them during a discussion or an argument is something they see as a threat. Coming from a very insecure and dark place in their mind, shifting the conversation to something righteous is instinctive. You can even find examples of tricks like this in politicians who use it to rile up the masses against the opposition, and they'll never get sick of this. They're benefiting from this, and you're giving them attention. To escape this, redirect their redirection. Tell them you want to focus on the original issue. And if they still won't budge or admit anything, you're better off pulling away from that entire conversation and focus on doing something more constructive. Number 5, they're moving the goalpost. Another way sociopaths manipulate you is to employ a logical faculty called moving the goalpost. This essentially means that they continuously find a way to be dissatisfied with you and thus pull you down and nitpick at your every accomplishment. Understand the difference between constructive criticism and downright destructive criticism. A sociopath criticizes you like it's a personal attack. They hold you up to impossible standards and enjoy it when you fail. Even if you have somehow reached the goal or provided all the evidence you need to prove or validate your argument, they'll run around and set up another insanely high expectation of you. Number 4, twisting words. If you think you're about to have a deep, insightful discussion with a sociopath, you're wrong. Sociopaths and the likes of other master manipulators and narcissists use word salad, nonsense, conversations, projection, and gaslighting to all around confuse you into not being able to disagree with them or challenge their control over you. Spend a few minutes arguing with such a manipulative person, and you'll barely remember how your argument began in the first place. It comes down to sociopaths being drama lovers. They thrive off it, and they live for it. And every time you fall for their trick of this mind scramble, you're feeding them a bottomless supply of attention. Number 3, blame shifting. Projection also falls under the umbrella of blame shifting. This is more like a defense mechanism that the manipulator falls back on. Their motto is basically like, the best defense is a good offense. And unfortunately, that's harmful to you. When they shift the blame, suddenly, you're on the defense, while the sociopath remains innocent and blame-free. As a result, they'll go back to feeling superior, while you're left on a guilt trip towards shame. Their trick is to make you feel selfish or even ungrateful for all the supposed things they did for you. Their goal is to make you inadequate. A manipulative spouse may blame the victim if they, for example, find evidence on their phone that proves they are flirting or potentially cheating. A sociopath's response? Outrage. They'll act outraged that you've gone into their phone, and now the focus is on you. They have effectively played the victim. They have minimized, circumvented, and turned around the problem and gotten off scot-free. All the while, you're justifiable anger is cut short. Number 2, they intimidate you with empty threats. One absolutely baffling trick that sociopaths use is trying to intimidate you with empty threats. And while this is common behavior for them, it's usually a last resort. What they do and what you need to watch out for is that they use threats to maintain their control over you. Usually, sociopaths are quite clever in discussing or gaslighting people into not seeing their tactics. But if you happen to be untricked by their behavior, they'll feel their control slipping. This results in a more negative reaction that's not as thought out, insanely manipulative. Common phrases that they use include, you'll be sorry for whatever your point of dispute is, and their threats can escalate to even threats of suicides. Name-calling is also a manipulation tactic they employ. It's a quick and effortless way to put you down and insult your intelligence, appearance, and behavior. Name-calling is also a psychology trick used to degrade you by criticizing your beliefs and opinions. If you're arguing about a well-researched subject and an informed opinion that you have, a sociopath may feel threatened by you. Therefore, they're not capable of making a respectful rebuttal. And instead of targeting your argument, which they know is right, they'll target your person and undermine both your credibility and intelligence. Your informed opinion suddenly becomes silly. See, research has proven that sociopathic behavior is most likely the result of nurture and their environment. Sociopaths tend to be more nervous and more easily agitated than your average, calm, meticulous psychopath. Because of this, they're more volatile and they're more prone to emotional outbursts like fits of rage. It comes down to them trying to push limits. Manipulators constantly test you and enjoy being able to push your limits to your breaking point. Number 1, gaslighting. This is the big one, the ultimate and most hurtful trick sociopaths use to manipulate you. Gaslighting is arguably the most insidious manipulative trick used because not only does it work to exonerate them from something, but it will also eat away at you. It will affect the way you see yourself. It will make you question your sense of reality and inevitability. It will break you down into not being able to call out abuse. How do they do this? How do sociopaths disempower their victims? They lie about things. They'll lie about their activities and they'll trick you into believing they're the ones wronged and that you are the one who's wrong when you're actually right. Or they'll manipulate you into believing they did something they didn't do, or they didn't do something that they actually did. Sociopathic colleagues at work may employ this tactic to hide their own lack of productivity and efficiency. Unlike physical abuse, gaslighting emotionally cripples the victim. It's very confusing. You're not weak or at fault for falling for it. Sociopaths have been using these intimidating tactics their entire lives to get what they want. Gaslighting can be a variation of claiming that didn't happen, to blaming you, to calling you crazy or paranoid or overly jealous. Now, how do you overcome a sociopath trying to gaslight you? You have to trust yourself and believe that you're not just imagining what these master manipulators are trying to push onto you. Tell a friend as soon as it happens. Find a support network to fight the gaslighting effect. If you have to write things down straight after they happen, then do it. As the saying goes, I am sure if the devil existed, he would want us to feel very sorry for him. And that concludes our video on the psychological tricks sociopaths use to manipulate you. Now you're armed with knowledge and will hopefully be ready to recognize and counter these tactics. Before we go, make sure to subscribe.
Powerful. Powerful, guys. People, you know, really just truly study this type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? They study this stuff and they become very scholared. All right? See this next one. How to deal with gaslighting. And this is a TED Talk. I love TED Talks.
Right now, the world is experiencing what I experienced every day as a child. There is chaos, there is confusion, thing is upside down, reality is being canceled, and nothing means anything. The term gaslighting refers to when someone manipulates you into questioning your own sanity. It's a term we are hearing a lot of right now, and it's a term I'm very familiar with. People are perhaps confused with how to manage and to cope with the situation. Therefore, I can help. When I was in my mid-30s, I had a meeting with my editor, and it was my first major journalism assignment for the Sunday Times magazine. I'd gone to meet him for a drink, and I was feeling hopeful. I was feeling like things might work out. And as I was leaving, another writer arrived. This writer recognized me from when I was a child, and he said, "Are you so-and-so's daughter?" And I replied, "Yes." And he'd been a guest at one of my mother's dinner parties. After I left this meeting, my editor told me that he had said, "Oh, I always wondered how that little girl would survive. I had thought her only chances were suicide or murder." When he told me this line, I felt validation, because here was this person who had actually witnessed what I knew to be true, and it confirmed what I knew. So he had said two options: suicide or murder. Why would he say that? And what does this have to do with gaslighting? I grew up in an environment that from the outside seemed privileged and enviable. My mother was a very glamorous poet and an artist, and there were always very interesting people around. It was a bohemian world. She loved entertaining, and there would be raucous parties on weeknights. I would be in my bed trying to go to sleep, and I would be woken up with drunken laughter and noise outside the bedroom. And sometimes these people would come into my room to escape from the crowd. And they would sit and they would smoke and they would use the bathroom. And other times they would get up in my nightgown and open the door and shout desperately, please, can people be quiet? It's a school night. I have to go to sleep. I have to get up tomorrow. My mother would reply, Ariel, come join the party. Or she would say, after the belly dancer, everyone will go home. It was total bombardment. So the following morning, what would happen is I would confront her about the situation, and it was as though this disruption had never happened. What I thought had being told had not happened, and that I was making a big deal out of nothing. If I confronted her with the facts, they were batted away. I was sprayed with words of adoration and words of contempt. You're a stupid idiot, and I wish you had never been born. When I confronted her about having said this to me, I was told I was making it up and that it was a lie. So it wasn't just that my reality was canceled, but my perceptions of reality were overwritten. And one of the most insidious things about gaslighting is the denial of reality. Being denied what you have seen with your own eyes and you know to be true. Being denied an experience that you have had and you know is real. For me, the erasure of the abuse was worse than the abuse. So it can make you crazy, but you are not crazy. I developed 4 strategies. They helped me, and at the time I didn't even know they were strategies. So in these uncertain times, I'm going to share them with you, and maybe they can help you too. Number one is to remain defiant. When I was a little girl, I wrote a story about running away from home. And when my mother saw the story, she said it wasn't true and demanded I change it. And I didn't change it. I actually yelled out, I am not changing my story. I'm not. This defiance was key. Because I was trusting my version of reality and not allowing it to be altered on demand, this anger protected me. I knew what I knew, and it couldn't be erased. So the person gaslighting you will often try to bully you. But being defiant is something that does not make you difficult. It's being resilient. Now, recognize that you will never get accountability. In my late 20s, I tried to confront the truth about what happened in my childhood. I was sitting with my mother in a Japanese restaurant, and I said the words child abuse for the first time out loud. So she didn't feel like it was an attack on her. And immediately her response was, what about mommy abuse? Nobody ever talks about that. So what I learned in that moment was that she would never be able to take accountability for her actions. She would never get it. She would never say, oh, you're right, you have a point. And that acknowledgement was not in the cards. Asserting myself was not just useful, but it was harmful. Because the person gaslighting you will never be able to respond to logic or reason. And so if you think that you can apply logic and reason, you're going to feel let down. With this recognition, you are no longer powerless. Letting go of the wish for it, this is a big one for me, because the wish for it to be different is very powerful. It inoculates you to the tumult. It allows you to continue to believe that logic and reason will prevail. And after a particularly bad episode, my mother would reassure me that it would never happen again. It would happen again. Promises were broken, and I realized that I could not rely on her word. With gaslighting, the person gaslighting you makes you feel as though the ground is always shifting beneath your feet and that you have no center of gravity. You want things to make sense, but they won't. Engaging with someone who is gaslighting you means you will never feel heard. The solution? You stop engaging and you put yourself first. Number four would be to develop a healthy detachment. I had to develop coping mechanisms when I was a child. The back and forth and the push and pull of affection was emotional whiplash. You're wonderful. You're horrible. I love you. I hate you. I had to protect myself by believing that nothing meant anything. So if you can't invest in anything the other person says, what happens? Well, when you grow up, there's a price. For me, what had been adaptive as a child became maladaptive as an adult. So trusting was very difficult. I was always needing verification. I became vigilant about clarity. There was no room for misunderstanding, and there was no margin for error. Somebody asked me once, what are you looking for in a relationship? And I replied, certainty. I needed certainty in an uncertain world. But we live in an uncertain world. And so there has to be a way to find balance. Detaching from gaslighting does not mean total detachment. It means distinguishing between the world of the gaslighter and the real world. So you can let people have their alternative facts. You'll stick to reality. So if the only options for me were suicide or murder, how did I survive? Well, there was actually a third option, writing it down. This was my way of making sense of the chaos by organizing it on the page. Mm. This happened. This was real. Whether the writing was published or not, it was something that had to be written. To say what needed to be said, to validate my reality. Even if it was disavowed, which it was testimony. Ironically, it was my mother who passed on to me the tools that I needed in order to survive, because she always championed freedom of speech through writing. And by telling my story, it was and continues to be an act of redemption. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, that was beautiful. I love it. You know, it really brought me to some of the things that I did in my personal journey. And that's doing your homework. That's breaking your life down. Compartmentalize. I can never say that. Compartmentalize. La, 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 la. Your life. And what I mean by that is breaking down your life in chapters. You know what I mean? You'll spend 1 year on your emotional. You know, why am I so you know, why do I have these negative self-thoughts? You know, spending a year truly breaking down, you know, the roots to why, to your why, you know what I mean? Why do I feel so hurt by my parents? You know, are my parents narcissistic? In what ways do I identify with, you know, them? Or what ways are they teaching me? Is narcissism a really just this bad thing? Is gaslighting really just this bad thing? Or is it just there to truly teach us? It doesn't mean that we fall victim, because we're not victims, guys. That's what we got to have. We got to stop with that attitude, okay? Well, we are victorious because we have become aware of the lessons that needed to happen in order to catapult you into your highest version. A lot of times these people aren't willingly aware that they are also grand teachers, just as they are to us, as we are to them. It's all about perspective when you're doing your homework, but there are levels to unlearning, all right? So there was a meme I found doing the podcast, and that was, manipulators and gaslighters hate to see you unbothered by what they thought you would be bothered by. So remain unbothered. Let me pull this lecture. So we kind of identified, I'm going to do a separate podcast on the covert narcissistic personality. I'm going to do that one later. Because I want to bring more aware, because this is shit that I had to do my healing work through, and I got through it. So I guess I'm at a point where I can teach it now, right? So, okay, this is Teal Swan. I love her. I want to get into her, and then I want to get into Ralph. I definitely want to see what they have to say. So Teal Swan, go to her YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Infinite Waters, go to his YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Beautiful go-tos. You know, remember, guys, you got to do your own work. You know, you can't be lazy. Enhanced Awareness Radio brings you to yourself, to where you get to, you have to do your own work. All right?
Chances are, if you have spent any time in the psychological, self-help, or spiritual community, you have heard the term gaslighting. Today, I'm going to unpack the concept of gaslighting so you can completely understand it. Where we have to start is the 1930s. In the 1930s, there was a play that was created that was later adapted into a film. And the name of this particular play was Gaslight. Basically, the plot line is that there was a husband who, let's just say, was incredibly abusive. And what he wanted to do was to convince the woman that he was with, his wife, that she was completely insane, to the point where he would then drive her to an institution. She would commit herself. Now, in this play, what he does is a lot of little manipulations to their environment. And when she would bring up the fact that there had been a change to the environment, he would make her believe that she wasn't remembering things right, or that she was delusional, or that she was eventually losing her mind. And one of the things he did in this particular play is that he took these old gaslights. For those of you who have never seen these, maybe many millennials never have been around a gaslight. What it is it's this contraption that uses the gas like a propane to create light in the home. Now, they had gaslights in the home before a certain period of time. And what he did is he dimmed these gaslights in their home. And when she brought up the fact that the lights had been dimmed, he, of course, did the same form of psychological manipulation on her, saying, I just don't know what to do with you anymore. Nothing has happened to the lighting. So that's the reason that we now use the term gaslighting today to describe a certain form of psychological manipulation. To gaslight someone is to sow seeds of doubt in their mind that make them question their own sense of personal truth and reality, things like memory, judgment, perception, feelings, etc. It is to try to convince someone that what they see, they didn't see, what they hear, they didn't hear, and what they felt, they have no reason to feel. To give you an example of gaslighting, I want you to imagine that I walk in the door and I hit you in the leg with a 2x4, and your leg breaks. Obviously, you're going to fall straight to the floor, and you're going to be writhing around in pain. Now, imagine that I look down at you and I say, wow, that's just so weird. In fact, I should go get a doctor because something's really wrong with you if you're in that amount of pain and you just fell down like that. Now, imagine that you reasserted your own perception of reality, which is, what are you talking about? You hit me in the freaking leg with a 2x4. And to that, I would respond something like, oh, sweetheart, no, you just fell down. Maybe I should go get a psychologist. In fact, I'm going to use my own money to get you a psychologist because I really care about you, and it's so important for me to know and for you to know what's wrong with you. You feel that feeling, that disorientation, that panic attack you're starting to feel as a result of me saying that? That's the feeling of gaslighting. Basically, at some point in this process, what would start to happen, especially if I was somebody that you really trusted, is you would start to doubt your own sense of reality and perception. You would start to think that potentially you were going insane. People who gaslight use things like denial, contradiction, misinformation, misdirection, and even true information and facts in order to destabilize, disorient, and delegitimize a person's sense of reality. When someone is gaslit, they end up in a state of extreme cognitive dissonance. Doubting one's own sense of sanity leads to a severe decrease in self-esteem as well. They learn to distrust their own mind and thus defer to the perceptions and control of the person gaslighting them. But the distress caused by gaslighting is not a minor thing. It is so detrimental that it causes a mental and emotional breakdown that can lead people to the psych ward and even to commit suicide. An interesting element to understand about gaslighting is that it so often involves the projecting or the transfer of something that is actually the gaslighter's onto the person being gaslit. For example, let's say you're dealing with somebody that mainstream psychology would title a narcissist or a sociopath. These are people who tend to be extremely self-centered, but of course they're not aware that they are or are unable to admit that they are. The gaslighting, part of that gaslighting, is going to involve them convincing the person being gaslit that they are completely narcissistic and completely self-centered. To understand more about this, watch my video titled Projection, Understanding the Psychology of Projecting. Gaslighting can be done consciously and deliberately as a means of creating interpersonal control. And when I say consciously, I don't mean that this is an enlightened or awakened being doing this. No, what I mean is they're aware that they're doing this. But what if I told you that this is by far the more rare form of gaslighting, that gaslighting can in fact be unconsciously done, and that this is far more common? With unconscious gaslighting, a person is not aware of what they're doing, and therefore is not doing it deliberately, but is doing it nonetheless. This happens because people are not completely conscious, and most people are not self-aware. So this is not a reason to make it okay or less bad. This unconscious gaslighting is the kind of gaslighting that usually takes place in families. For example, let's say that a mother says a direct insult to her child. Now, obviously, she can't own up to the fact that she said this insult because she knows that if she owned up to making that insult, she couldn't see herself as a good mother. Now, obviously, what she cares about more than anything is to see herself as a good mother. So when she is confronted with the fact that she has said this insult, she's going to completely outright deny it. She's going to suppress the memory of having said it, and when she's confronted about it, say, I never said that. In fact, I'm not the kind of person who would ever say that. You must be inventing things, or you must have heard me wrong. Give you another example. I want you to imagine that there's a family where there is actually zero tolerance for emotions within the family, especially painful ones. Now, the child growing up in this family knows that something's missing. They know that a whole portion of themselves is not acceptable inside that home. And they also know that because there's no real relationship to be had emotionally, there's actually a serious lack of intimacy and closeness, therefore, in this home. But this is not what the family's going to say. The parents and potentially even other siblings are going to gaslight this child by saying things like, no, we are the closest family. We are the best family. We are so much closer than so many other families that we know. The parents are actually convinced this is the case. Why? Because they suppressed their emotions so long ago and learned that emotions should have no part in relationships and, in fact, destroys relationships to the degree that they don't actually perceive that they're missing anything. So they actually perceive this is a close family. So they're going to gaslight the kid. Because the parent has no idea that actually acknowledging emotions and directly coaching them is necessary in a close relationship, in an intimate relationship, they've lost touch with what intimacy actually is. They're going to be gaslighting this child because they are in a different reality than the child is in. Where two people are in two different perceptual realities, there's always the risk of gaslighting. This is so often why when you talk to two people involved in the situation, they both when someone's sense of reality completely contradicts our own, we tend to doubt our own sanity, especially if we have been heavily gaslit as a child and already doubt our ability to sense reality. To understand this dynamic in depth, watch my video titled The Most Dangerous Parallel Reality. Now I'm going to make you aware of something that really sucks to admit to, but is also the key to setting yourself free. If you've been heavily gaslit in your childhood, then you're going to have a fragment or a portion of your own consciousness whose job it is to gaslight you, but this time from the inside. Let's consider this an internal gaslighter. This part has the job of making you doubt your own sense of perception and reality. It's going to be the one that causes you to feel like maybe you didn't see what you thought you saw. Maybe you didn't hear what you thought you heard. Maybe you shouldn't feel what you feel. Becca, I'm going to give you a little tip. This internal part is what is creating so much of the condition that mainstream psychologists are calling borderline personality. This part is committed to doing two seemingly different or opposing things, but both of which keep them safe. This is what I mean. This part thinks that it's going to stay safe, obviously, in our childhood. We know that we're a social species, right? It's going to keep you safe by developing closeness or alignment with whoever's gaslighting you by making sure that instead of sticking to your solid truth, you're going to let go of it and become uncertain. You're going to start to doubt and distrust yourself because that's the only way to not shut this person who is the gaslighter off. It's the only way to not be isolated in your own perceptual reality. To the opposite. It is also aware in an almost contradictory way that this person who is gaslighting them is actually gaslighting them, that they're convinced of a parallel perceptual reality which isn't true. And so, in response to that painful state, knowing how horrible it is to be on the receiving end of somebody who has a completely fixed and potentially wrong sense of reality, it's going to keep this person safe by also committing to uncertainty, to confusion. Why? So that they are nothing like the person who hurt them. Basically, this part wants to keep you in uncertainty and self-doubt so as to not be anything like the person who was gaslighting you. At the same time, it's trying to give you alignment and further closeness with the person who was gaslighting you. And the result is living in a feeling of confusion and insecurity about your own perceptions and sense of reality all day long. It is critical to integrate this internal gaslighter because that is the only way that you're going to come out of this attitude you're in of complete confusion and self-doubt and into a state of more solidness, of self-trust. Also, integrating this part is critical because if you are in this attitude of doubt and lack of self-trust, you are a magnet to gaslighters. And not gaslighters who are doing it unconsciously, gaslighters who do it consciously. Your life's going to be full of gaslighting because you're going to fall prey to it all the time. Because any time somebody contradicts your reality, it's going to cause you to pop out into, oh, no, I'm doubting myself. That being said, because of this, and in order to integrate this particular part of you, your internal gaslighter, I want you to watch a video. The video is titled Parts Work. What is parts work and how to do it? There is an obvious issue when it comes to gaslighting. If you have been a victim of gaslighting in your life, you will become a truth seeker. End of story. You're going to become absolutely obsessed with truth. That's awesome, and it's going to serve you incredibly well up until the point where you start looking at truth in terms of the philosophy of truth itself. This obsession is going to lead you to the understanding that when it comes to awareness, awakening, and self-development, questioning your own perceptions is critical. After all, you don't want to end up like the people who hurt you because they never questioned their reality, which part of you could see was totally false. You're going to come up against questions like, what is true? Is there truth? Or is the only truth that there is no truth? Some people like to suggest that the antidote to experiencing gaslighting is just to get really solid on your personal truth and almost defiant with it. But that's, we already know that that doesn't work, right? I mean, all you have to do to understand that it doesn't work to fix your laurels to a solid truth is talk to any scientist. I mean, any basic scientist can tell you that what you perceive with your senses is not necessarily reflective of the actual reality, you know. I mean, we're living in a virtual soup of radio waves all day long, and we don't see that at all. Also, if you talk to a basic psychologist, they'll tell you that if you hold a cup of warm liquid, you're going to describe your relationship to the people around you as more close than you will if somebody holds you a glass of cold liquid to hold. So what's true? Are you close to them or are you not? I guess it depends on what type of liquid you hold. If you talk to basically anybody who's into the thought field, they're going to tell you that you perceive your reality and truth through the lens of your social conditioning. All you got to do is go to a particularly religiously homogenous area of the globe to see how really, really off that can be. If you talk to a spiritual teacher, they're going to tell you that you're perceiving the universe through your limited ego, which is not your non-physical self, which is by far the larger part of you, and so you're not even perceiving the universe at large. You're limited. All right, you get the point. I don't need to sell you on this anymore. Most of us at this point, especially if you're watching my videos, are at the point where you're like, okay, questioning my reality is pretty much critical. It's going to backfire, though, if you have experienced gaslighting. We all get that it's absolutely possible to not perceive truth and reality accurately, and that the only way to really heal and awaken is to change the way we're perceiving things. But this awareness then serves as an excuse to doubt our own reality further. The fact that it is possible to not perceive truth and reality accurately does not get to serve as an excuse to gaslight yourself or make gaslighting okay. Something to understand about gaslighting is that gaslighting is non-accommodative by nature. It is done to nullify and get rid of one person's perspective in favor of another person's perspective. Basically, it's designed to invalidate one person's perspective because it serves the other person to be right. And when we are being gaslit, what we're allowing to happen is for our perspective to be completely invalidated. What will happen in this case is that we will begin to suffer from a lack of self-trust. So this is the first thing to understand. If you have suffered from gaslighting or are maybe even a victim of it right now, then your real issue is that you have no trust for yourself. And a person cannot live in an atmosphere of lack of self-trust and be healthy at the same time. You can consider this development of self-trust to be the first critical step when you've been suffering from gaslighting. It's only when you have developed this sense of self-trust that you can then begin to look at the concept of reality deconstruction in a healthy way. If you have worked on self-trust, I want you to remember something when it comes to truth, or objective reality. Objective truth and objective reality is an amalgamation of all subjective perspectives. That means that it must accommodate for and account for any perspective that is part of it as a larger picture. It must have an explanation as to why the perception of this particular part of it is what it is. I can promise you the explanation is not going to be this person's perspective is what it is because they're insane. The way to get out of a gaslight is to first practice profound compassion and radical acceptance for your own inner experience, and then to work on seeking the objective truth. It can also help you to heal immensely by experiencing other people having profound compassion and radical acceptance for your inner experience. And when you are ready to work on seeing objective truth, you have to see the angle you have and the angle they have as a part of the bigger picture. You have to see the why of why they see it the way they do and the why of why you see it the way you do. I want you to realize something, though. Even when you come to a point where you're perceiving more of the objective truth, it doesn't mean that if you or any being came down and presented the objective truth to someone, that they would automatically accept it. In fact, the truth is often quite the opposite. When somebody is completely committed to their subjective perspective, you're going to get a lot of pushback. Why? Because in order to adopt even the objective perspective, there has to be an expansion of perspective taking place. And this naturally, by definition, changes their perception. Now, if somebody's really resistant to changing their perception of reality, then it doesn't matter whether you're presenting the objective truth. They will perceive you as trying to do something to them that hurts them. Essentially, they're going to perceive whatever you're doing as a complete invalidation. Questioning your perception and sense of reality is about questioning where your perception and sense of reality is limited, not invalid. And there are drastic differences between those two things. Humanity has got to expand beyond its either-or mentality in order to grasp the larger consciousness that is available to them. They must step into a space of and consciousness. For more information about this, watch my video titled And Consciousness, the Modern Day Replacement for the Middle Way. And I might add here that this is very different than agree to disagree. By the way, I may do an entire video in the future on agree to disagree because it's potentially one of my least favorite things which humanity seems to value somehow. Agree to disagree is the commitment to one's solid truth. It is the commitment to not becoming awakened, in fact, and it's also a commitment to staying separate. I'm going to give you a powerful question that you can ask yourself. Now, I do have to warn you that this powerful question does come with a little bit of a warning. First, I'm going to give you the question, then I'm going to give you the warning. How does it serve them to be right? How does it serve them to completely undermine my reality? You can ask yourself what their motive is, and maybe in certain situations, even directly ask them what their motive is. Obviously, a good gaslighter is not going to be able to tell you what their direct motive is. In fact, they're going to sit there and have to think about it for a while. Most people have to sit and think about it for a while because most people don't really become conscious of why they're trying to change the reality so intensely. That being said, here's my warning. It can be a very powerful tool to try to see what someone's motive is for doing something. It can actually help you to see through a lot of abusive behaviors. However, yes, you can also be wrong. I've seen a lot of people who project motives onto others, who come up with a story about what their motive is, and their motive is not actually what they're telling themselves. So you have to understand that potentially what you come up with is not the actuality. It's still very powerful to see what motive it could be. Basically, don't automatically assume that their motive is bad. Motive is a big part of gaslighting. There must be a motive for gaslighting, either conscious or subconscious. This is why gaslighting is used as a manipulative control tactic. To give you an example of some of what I mean about a motive behind gaslighting, let's look back at this movie called Gaslight. I'm going to give you a few examples more than just this, but if we look back at this movie called Gaslight, the husband wanted to get rid of his wife in a way to put the fault on her instead of him. That was his motive. He saw that it could be accomplished by her being diagnosed as insane and being put in a psych ward. A parent can want your reality to be different because if it isn't, they will not get the appreciation and care in their later life that they want from you. A partner can want your reality to be different because they get to be seen as the victim and therefore the good guy in the relationship. A therapist could want your reality to be different because they see that your perspective is ruining your relationships. A friend could want your reality to be different because they're feeling like you do not see the truth of them. Why is someone wanting your reality to be different than it is? How does it serve them? How might it serve you? Why are you wanting someone's reality to be different than it is? How does it serve you? How does it serve them? Asking this question may just unearth some powerful needs that you can meet much more directly. Gaslighting undermines self-trust. It especially undermines your trust in your own sense of reality and sense of perception. But one thing I want you to understand is that developing self-trust is very, very different than developing a fixed reality that is unchangeable regardless of any information or contradictory perspectives that it meets with. I know that that's what hurt you so badly. I know that's what you don't want to be yourself. But I don't want you to confuse self-trust with developing a fixed sense of reality that might be wrong. Not having a solid core of self-trust and personal truth is an acutely painful state. Like I said before, it's not possible to actually be healthy when you're in that state of uncertainty, when you're in that state of self-doubt. So what's the alternative, you ask me? The alternative is to be solid, but open. Open to change, especially. Now, the best analogy that I can give you for this is to think about the sky. The sky is always the sky. There is a solidness to the sky. And yet, if you've watched it for any amount of time, you've noticed that it changes quite a bit. It is open to change. It is possible to question your perceptions and sense of reality without losing that core of personal truth and of self-trust. Just as it is possible for the sky to change and yet remain the sky.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, I hope you guys are enjoying this. I'm about to wrap up, guys. But I hope you enjoyed the illustrations of gaslighting, you know, just to become aware, right? Enhancing your awareness, just becoming aware of the things that happen, you know, in our everyday lives. So, again, I hope you enjoyed it. Please be mindful and please be aware in your own life, you know, just to kind of do your own research, do your own studying. If you are in these situations in your life, it's very important for you to come up with a strategic plan and, you know, doing your homework, studying what may be taking place. Some key points to remember is dark psychology, emotional manipulation, covert narcissists, energy vampires. These are all topics that you can discuss. There's audiobooks. Audiobooks are great now, right? There's audiobooks on YouTube. Not YouTube, yeah. There's audiobooks on YouTube, and there's also the Audible app. You can download, type in gaslighting and dark psychology manipulation. There's books, you guys, that breaks this down more in depth, you know. So do your own research. If you're a victim of gaslighting, you guys, just first, you know, a good strategy is to becoming aware, as I stated. Becoming aware, you can hire a professional if you would like. Just you can email me, right? EnhancingAwarenessRadio@gmail.com. I do spiritual soul sessions. And, yep, spiritual soul sessions with Haruta 7, the Oracle. You can utilize in the show notes. I'm going to put it here in just a second. But my link tree, right? Utilize my link tree to book a session if need be. But lastly, you guys, I want to leave you with how to overcome gaslighting when someone is gaslighting you. All right? And I hope you guys. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Please join me every weekend at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, here at Enhancing Awareness Radio. And, yeah, till next time, guys.
So I just got done reading that really long message you sent me, Deep Divers, and I don't believe it. You explaining to me what happened to you in childhood, this happened, that happened. I don't believe it, not for one second. Deep Divers, I feel like you're making it all up. It's all in your head, and you should snap out of it. Now, you have just been officially gaslit. Anytime somebody tells you that, Deep Divers, tell them this. You ain't got to go home. You ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell out of here. Good riddance. Peace, infinite waters, diving deep once again. Beautiful Deep Divers, we are out here in the heart of nature, baby, in Jurassic Park. We're just, woo, breathing in that good-ass prana, baby. I'm sending you tons of good-ass energy. Take that, take that, take that. Deep Divers, how to overcome gaslighting. Have you heard of that expression, gaslighting? What is gaslighting, Ralph? That is when someone manipulates you into questioning your whole sanity. Like, they're like, hey, you're going crazy. It's all in your head. And you're like, no, it's not. They're like, yes, it is. You're like, no, it's not. They're like, yes, it is. Well, this ends today. No more gaslighting in relationships, at home, anywhere. Are you ready to let go of anybody that is gaslighting you today? Hell yeah. And we ain't even had breakfast yet. Can I get a hello? Now, wonderful deep divers, let me share with you what's helped me along my journey. What is gaslighting? Gaslighting is when someone manipulates you into questioning your whole sanity. And this happens in relationships as well. It's a sexology. Water, fire, hot, cold, yin, yang, daddy's home, I'm back. And word got to me that someone is gaslighting you today. And it happens in relationships. Many times we get together with someone, and as the relationship progresses, they're like, hey, it's all in your head. You're making it up. And they start projecting onto you. They don't want to take responsibility. It's all your fault, apparently. Now, gaslighting was actually a play in 1938 by Patrick Hamilton. And in the play, Bella is married to Jack. And Jack is like, hey, Bella, you're going crazy. You are misplacing stuff. And he's the one that's actually doing it. And that's where we get this whole expression of gaslighting. Okay, many times people who gaslight us, they want to change the version of events to suit themselves. They want to act like it didn't happen, like we're going crazy, like we are the insane one. So how do we deal with gaslighting? First and foremost, learn how to speak up. Anytime, deep divers, someone comes into the room and tries to gaslight you, say, oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. Not today. Not tomorrow. Not next summer. I'm not going to allow it into my personal space because today I'm letting go of anyone no longer serving me to make space for what inspires me. Mm. What? Slow motion this side. Mm. Now, that really shook the gaslighter out of their boots. They're like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you spoke up for the first time. You see, deep divers, to deal with gaslighting, someone who is trying to manipulate you, learn how to find your voice. Learn how to say no. Learn how to stand up for yourself, because what actually allows the gaslighting to continue is your silence. You have to learn how to break your silence. Anytime someone is saying, hey, that didn't happen, you have to say, no, it really did. This did happen. You see, deep divers, all experiences are subjective. Therefore, all experiences are valid. Oh, baby, your experience is valid. They may have a different version of events, but your version of events are just as valid. And you have to learn how to express yourself to someone who is gaslighting you. Don't be silent. Speak your truth. Even if you're looking a bit shaky, baby, and your voice shakes. Because the more you have this freedom of expression, the gaslighter can no longer bully you into submission. So learn how to find your voice. Speak up for yourself. And learn this today, deep divers. Anytime you have someone who's like, hey, it's all in your head, you're making this up, learn how to distance yourself from those kinds of people. You don't need them in your space. Like, I only surround myself with people who are good for my mental health. Now, it's on you to take responsibility to say, actually, who do I want to surround myself with? People who are putting me down and making me question my sanity, or people who to actually honor my own unique experiences. Okay? A lot of the time, people gaslight us when we feel weak, when we are really in a bad way, when we are not confident, when we have a low self-esteem. We are prey to a predator coming to gaslight us. And you have to learn that your strength comes from knowing who you are, not allowing other people to define you. Slow motion this side. Or define your reality. You see, gaslighting happens when someone else denies your reality. They deny your existence and say, actually, it didn't happen. Learn every single day, deep divers, that it did happen. But you don't have to convince someone that it did happen. All you have to do is walk away. All you have to do, I'm not going to allow myself to be affected by this poison. Because this goes on no longer. When you create healthy, energetic boundaries, you now overcome gaslighting. The only reason gaslighting can continue is because people get drawn to this person who is gaslighting them. They feel they need them. And you have to realize that actually you're a lot better without them. Stop giving them food. And we stop giving them food by stopping entertaining what they have to bring up. So if they say it's all in your head and you're like, no, it's not, and they're like, yes, it is, you don't even have to have that conversation. Don't let it get to that point. Just say, this is a person who lacks accountability. You see, many manipulators and gaslighters, they don't want to take responsibility. They want to throw on the blame to you for you to deal with. Well, you have to realize that actually they have the problem, not you. You see, anytime someone is pointing one finger, they've got three fingers pointing back at them. And that's what happens in so many gaslighting situations. People are projecting onto you. They made the mistake, and they're acting like you're the one that made it. They want to silence you. They want you to keep quiet. But more than ever, you have to express yourself. You have to let it all out. It's going to be scary. But you owe it to yourself to say, actually, I'm not going to bow down. I'm going to be defiant. Key word, defiant. Learn how to stand in your truth. Learn how to win your own approval, not someone else's. Deep divers, how to overcome someone gaslighting you. Realize this today. If you can have a healthy detachment. Sometimes you can talk with someone to resolve an issue. But many times with a lot of manipulators and people who are gaslighting you, they are afraid to take responsibility. They can't accept that they made a mistake. Because of their ego, they're like, hey, it's all in your head. You did it. You're to blame. You're the bad one. I'm the good one. They paint themselves as saints while you are the sinner. And if you can practice healthy detachment, for example, if you have someone right now who is gaslighting you, it could be the person you're married to, right? Your boyfriend even, your girlfriend even, or even the cat down the road, who knows? Have a healthy detachment, meaning time you spend with these kinds of people. Take away their food source, which is your emotional investment in this interaction with them. And that's how to stop gaslighting. You see, every single day, deep divers, we can be assertive. We have that power within us to say, actually, no, this stops. And you have to allow your no to grow louder. And the more you can do that, you develop this confidence. And confidence means to trust, from the Latin confidere. And that's how to deal with someone who is gaslighting you. Because the more silent you are, the worse it becomes. I'm here to tell you, you aren't crazy. Your experience is valid. What happened to you in childhood is valid. A lot of things happened to me, and some people were telling me it didn't happen. I'm like, it did happen. They're like, it didn't happen that way. I'm like, it did happen this way for me. So I learned how to say, actually, my experience is valid. How I saw it is valid. It is not just in my imagination. I'm not going crazy. I'm just speaking my truth. And that's how to deal with gaslight. Learn how to break out of your shell. Do a little samba, baby. And find someone who honors you for you. Find someone who nurtures you. Find someone who helps you to heal. Find someone who doesn't judge you for feeling the way you do, because many people who are gaslighting you want to take away your emotional experience. They don't want you to feel the things you're feeling because they're like, hey, it didn't happen. Well, actually, it did. And be with someone who listens to you. Be with someone who sees you. And if you are around a gaslighter and you feel there is no escape, I'm here to tell you, there is. There is hope. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. You will find it once you realize you can do better than that person who is gaslighting you. Cut off the connection and go back to the source, the power which you truly are. And once that happens, deep dive as well. You'll just say, feels so good to be alive, baby. Time to get a hello. Beautiful deep divers were just breathing in that good ass prana, baby. How to deal with gaslighting? Stop engagement. Put yourself first. Stop loving yourself. Stop trying to be validated by the person who is gaslighting you. Realize you are enough today. Stop trying to change what you already know is. Let go of trying to make everything different. It's not going to change until you change it. To deal with gaslighting, it starts with you being in your personal power. In you saying, I've had enough. And I am worthy of more. Deep divers were just breathing in that good ass prana, baby. Shout out to everybody who's been rocking the amazing good ass prana shirts at ralphsmart.com/clothes. Got a question? Add me on Instagram at Infinite Waters. And the model search is on. If you are a sexy model with a lot of heart, DM me on Instagram at Infinite Waters. Have a beautiful day, divers. Peace. Infinite Waters diving deep. Once again, stay well, stay healthy. Peace. You stay gaslight free, basically. Peace.
I'll get out of all your boxes, I'll get out. You can't hold me in these chains, I'll get out. Father, free me from this bondage, knowing my condition is the reason I must change. You're speaking resolution, there's no type of solution preventing me from freedom, maintaining your pollution. I won't support your lie no more, I won't even try no more. If I have to die, oh Lord, that's how I choose to live. I won't be compromised no more, I can't be victimized no more. I just don't sympathize no more, cause now I understand. You just wanna use me, you say love and abuse me. You never thought you'd lose me, but how quickly we forget that nothing is for certain. You thought I'd stay here hurting. Your guilt trip's just not working, repressing me to death. Cause now I'm choosing life, yo, I'll take the sacrifice, yo. If everything must go, then go, that's how I choose to live.
Okay, we're getting there. At least I had a chunk. Okay, it's how I choose to live.
No more compromises, I see past the disguises, blindly through my control, stealing my eternal soul, appealing through material to keep me as a slave. But I'll get out. Oh, I'll get out of all your boxes, I'll get out. Oh, you can't hold me in these chains, I'll get out. Oh, I want out of self-divided, knowing my condition. Oh, it's the reason I must change. What you see is what you get. Oh, and you ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, I don't care if you're upset, I could care less if you're upset. Don't change the truth, and your hurt feelings no excuse to keep me in this box, psychological lock, repressing true expression, cementing this repression, promoting mass deception so that no one can be healed. I don't respect your system, I won't protect your system. When you talk, I don't listen, or let my father's will be done. And just get out. Oh, just get out of all this bondage. Just get out. Oh, you can't hold me in these chains. Just get out. Oh, these traditions killing freedom. Knowing my condition is the reason I must change. I just accepted what you say, keeping me among the dead. The only way to know is to walk and learn and grow. But faith is not your speed, or you'd have everyone believe that you're the sole authority. Just follow the majority, afraid to face reality. The system is a joke, or you'd be smart to save your soul. Oh, and escape this mind control. You spend your life a sacrifice to a system for the dead. Oh, are you sure where's the passion in this living? Are you sure it's God you're serving? Obligated to a system, getting less than you're deserving. Who made up these schools, I say? Who made up these rules, I say?